All right, welcome everyone. My name's Tim Hale, the Executive Director of Contra Costa Transportation Authority, and we are on the Patio podcast, and we've got a really great guest with me today. We're kind of on a really kind of a transit kick and really kind of talking about what all the transit options and services and provides out in Contra Costa County. And so today I've got a special guest from Alameda Contra Costa Transit, also known as AC Transit, the general manager, Michael Hirsch. And we're going to be talking all things transit in Contra Costa County and get in some really exciting projects. So maybe Michael, you want to introduce yourself and talk a little about your background and kind of who you are and what we do?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. And it's great to be here. I really appreciate the invitation and love your leadership and what you're doing. It's exciting to have a podcast like this. You may not know this is special to me. I'm a graduate of Leadership Contra Costa. I owned a home in Brentwood, raised my kids, went through Brentwood school. So I'm pretty passionate about Contra Costa County and more aware of the issues on what I would say is this side of the hills compared to where I'm at now. I've been at AC Transit 8.5 years. Prior to that, actually started, I got out of the Air Force in the Bay Area. Was chasing my love in life, working on photography and photography processing equipment, which was a huge mistake.
Oh my God, we do need to talk more. I'm a certified photographer on the state. It's crazy.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, so my secondary job in the Air Force was photography. Anyways, it turned out to be a horrible thing. Keep your hobbies your hobbies.
Yeah.
But it allowed me to go to work at San Francisco Muni, first in signal maintenance, worked as a contractor on the train control job, and then hired on at Muni. Talking back in the 90s. So I got to see, you know, at the time, Muni, I think, was number 6 or 7 largest agency in the United States, cable cars, a subway, trolley buses, just a really good baptism by fire into what public transit is. Commuting to Brentwood, which was a little rough before Highway 4
got
was.
Got to live it.
Well, and I was watching you all try to widen Highway 4 while I was a resident out there. Jumped down to VTA, spent 9 years at VTA, ultimately left as their chief operating officer. Wasn't necessarily looking to be a general manager. Got a phone call from the recruiter. Started looking at AC Transit, really fell in love with it. And I absolutely do. It's the greatest job I've ever had. We have a very special one. We're a very family-oriented business. I can get into any operator, new operator class, or meet with a group of employees and say, how many people grew up riding AC Transit, and the hands just shoot up. We've been fortunate to keep that value. A lot of people don't know that AC Transit slang is Aunt Clara. Take care of your aunt. Your aunt will take care of you. It goes back to a million years. We especially learned that during the pandemic. There was a good portion of the pandemic where we're the third largest transit agency in the Bay Area by ridership. During the worst of the pandemic, we were right there neck and neck, number two. Obviously, BART's ridership plummeted largely because a lot of the riders can work from home and ours can't. We're very incredibly proud of our frontline employees that kept us going, and we did see ridership. We saw ridership lost, but comparatively not as much as the others. Really, really difficult time to do public transit right now. You and I chatted before we sat down today about how we have to be much more nimble. We have to be much more in touch with our riders and constituents as we try to develop and learn what the new normal is for public transit. It's especially difficult for us with the Bay Area really recovering slowly. In particular, our Trans Bay service, we operate a fleet of 650 buses, we're 2,300 employees. We operate transbay service pre-pandemic, huge ridership into San Francisco because BART was crush loaded and we were taking the overflow. That ridership's gone. We need to figure out, is it coming back? When is it coming back? And we all are facing the fiscal cliff. Finances are tight. So it's imperative that we operate our service where it's needed the most. Spend every penny we spend on revenue service needs to be service that's reliable and goes when and where people need it to go. So a rambling answer about Mike is.
Just, I mean, where are you seeing ridership kind of coming back? Because I know locally here, you know, I see there's, you know, student ridership is higher, you know, day more local trips. So we're, I know you said Transbay is not coming back as much, but where are you seeing ridership actually come back?
You know, I think we've really kind of stabilized. Yeah. I think I read every article I can on hybrid work and remote work, and I think it's a 50-50 split. Some leaders think it's horrible, and some leaders think it's a great thing. I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of – I think there's always going to be an element of remote hybrid work.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Which to me translates, you know, one day a week translates into approximately 20% ridership reduction. And that's kind of where we're at. We're at 82% of the service level, and I think 75% last time I looked on ridership. And I don't see a whole lot of it coming back. We have a project underway called Realign, where we're looking at line by line, basically a comprehensive operations analysis to do exactly what I said, is make sure where we are operating service. We've identified potential new markets. We are every penny we're spending is being spent on service that's going to be most productive. Transbay is a big question mark. We're not cutting Transbay, but we are doing our due diligence to find out if there's an opportunity there. There's a lot more capacity on BART right now, so people aren't seeking out alternatives. We still have frustration with traffic in the Bay Area. That yeah. has come back, and we suffer with our buses being stuck in traffic. We're excited about the work going on in Sacramento with the Transit Transformation Task Force.
Yeah.
And we hope that we can reinvigorate the discussion about truly bus priority lanes, bus only lanes, bus on the shoulder in some places. We have to be more nimble in the way we operate public transit going forward.
So in terms of that flexibility, I mean, where do you see that flexibility really happening? I know, and maybe we can talk about that and then also talk about the priority transit lanes, because you were one of the first transit agencies, I think, in the Bay Area that kind of implemented a large scale BRT project, right?
Yep.
Right. And so
Tempo.
And called Tempo in Oakland, right?
Right.
And that was a big undertaking. But you know, what was the reasoning behind that project? And then what was some of the challenges and how is it performing today? I hear great things.
Yeah,
I think it's fantastic.
We could do a whole podcast on that probably. And I'll start with some humor. When I was looking at thinking about throwing my hat in the ring, I looked at the BRT project. It had an already executed full funding grant agreement, and they'd already done utility relocation. I thought, oh, this is going to be
oh,
a
yeah,
piece
this
of cake.
Is fantastic.
Couldn't have been further from wrong. It's 10.2 miles. It runs from downtown Oakland to San Leandro BART station. About 80% of it's dedicated bus only lanes, but it's a real exercise in land use and AC Transit's a directly elected board. There's only three agencies in the United States that work that way: BART, AC Transit, and Denver. And even Denver's looking
at
that.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's great, but it can also be a double-edged sword. AC Transit has no – we don't own any land. We don't have any land use authority, so we're really dependent on Oakland. The BRT corridor, not only is it Oakland and San Leandro, but a good portion of it's the state of California owned. So Caltrans – Oakland, AC Transit, you know, there's no bureaucracy there at all. We all just got along great and built it quick. And throw a pandemic in the middle of
yeah,
that.
Right.
Too. One day you're allowed to do construction, the next day you're not, as we were adapting to county and state health guidelines. The end result is amazing, and I encourage everybody to come out. If you're a transit geek, it's worth traveling to. If you're a Bay Area resident, you should try it anyways, no matter what. It's got beautiful art. It is functioning incredibly well. It's our heaviest ridership line. It's, all door level boarding. It's clipper fare payment, offboard fare collection. We do struggle with fare evasion, and we're looking at that very closely.
Right.
We were able to get legislation that allows us to do automated lane enforcement.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Today, that's done by the operator identifying a stopped vehicle and pressing a button. We were working with a company called Hayden AI based out of mm-hmm. Oakland.
Yeah.
We've already done a pilot project, and we intend to expand it fleet-wide to do bus lane and bus stop automated enforcement. That requires partnership with Alameda and Contra Costa County, in particular the sheriffs for both counties to help us with ticket
enforcement.
Issuance. Exactly. Yeah. We are seeing some challenges on Tempo. In some respects, the design has been too successful. The road conditions were horrible before we repaved the entire corridor. did a ton of safety improvements, over 100 traffic signals, ladder crosswalks, hundreds of ADA curb ramps. And now the streets are in great condition and cars can flow too fast.
Wow.
We are dependent on Oakland Police Department, OPD, to do traffic enforcement out there. We are looking at a quick build project to add some traffic mitigation, some left turn mitigation, some bollards and paint and signage. So it's not done. The project is completed and we're open for revenue service, but it's we're always looking at ways to run it more efficiently, to work with in particular Oakland, and we contract with Alameda County Sheriffs to get the enforcement out there to get the single occupant automobile drivers to behave and stay out of the way of the bus, but also follow the rules and laws of the road. The art, again, if you go down on the corridor, all the hand railing done by a local artist, it tells a poem from one end of the corridor to the end. It projects shadows onto the pavement and sidewalk, and then the bus's livery is tied in to match that artwork in a corridor that, quite frankly, deserves and needs world-class, best-in-class transit. Goes through amazing neighborhoods, the Fruitvale. It's really kind of an international journey. I guess that's why it's called International Boulevard.
That's really cool.
We love it. We're proud of it. And I would encourage your listeners to come out and take a look when they're out here.
Yeah, I know we're excited about BRT in Contra Costa County. We want to expand it. I know we've been talking a lot about, you know, looking for opportunities for transit priority corridors and looking to expand BRT on the San Pablo Avenue corridor, but also looking at and identifying just transit priority corridors across the entire county. Right. So, you know, we know we're not going to widen ourselves out of congestion, particularly on highways and local roads. So it's like, we got to get into this mindset of like kind of reprioritizing space, you know, and thinking about, you know, how to make sure that the bus is going faster than the car. Absolutely. You know, and very much in that mindset, we're actually getting ready to implement here in Central Contra Costa County a cloud-based transit signal priority system. But I know AC Transit, you know, you guys have been doing TSP for a long time.
We have. We've done it in – so love the directly elected board, but again, getting back to land use, it really takes a strong partnership. We have an incredible relationship with the Alameda County Transportation Commission, ACTC, mm-hmm. and Fremont's an incredible partner. Alameda's an incredible partner. Oakland has stepped up, but we've had to do TSP on almost a community-by-community basis. Some cities have invested heavily in their particular brand of traffic controller. We've dabbled with the cloud-based. We would like to go there. But you're absolutely right. We underinvest in transit and we overinvest in the automobile. We could talk about climate change, but just basic quality of life.
Right.
You know, who wants to sit in traffic? And this morning was just an absolute mess on the freeway approaches to the Bay Bridge. And our buses are stuck in that as well.
Yep.
The lesson learned on our BRT is folks like you are way better qualified and better positioned to build the project. And we are, we're the outstanding transit agency of the year in the United States. We're the operator, and that's what we should do. We're a bus-only agency. We don't do a lot of capital projects, but we can sure as hell operate public transit. So we are watching the San Pablo project. We're excited. I hope that, you know, there's a myriad of cities that need to agree to make transit
That's
a
right.
priority and the single occupant automobile not the priority. We are excited to see others build that, and we'll be ready to operate world-class transit on that once that corridor is done. And we'd love to partner with you and help get the initiatives. As I commented, I lived in Brentwood. I experienced Highway 4 before the improvements, and I know there's more we can do over here. You have an incredible challenge with the dense areas and then a lot of suburban areas.
Tough, that's right. Yeah, it's very, very diverse geographic. So speaking about climate change, I think something unique to AC Transit, you guys are all in on hydrogen, right?
We're all in on zero emissions.
Zero emissions, okay.
And it's another interview question 8.5 years ago is what would I do? There was a lot of pressure to go pure battery electric. And I recognized that AC Transit had already spent money on hydrogen fueling infrastructure. And the battery folks were really lobbying that, you know, all you got to do is put a charger in and you've converted to zero emission. And we've learned in California, particularly in PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric area, that's not true. Getting enough electrons to fully electrify a fleet is a challenge. last year, a lot of us got a wake-up call on one of the hottest days of the year when Cal ISO called and said, hey, you can't charge your buses. We don't have enough electricity. We are super proud that we stayed in hydrogen. We've issued what we call a 5x5 study in partnership with Stanford University, where we've given same bus manufacturer hydrogen, same bus manufacturer batteries, side-by-side comparison. Very proud our board has a board adopted plan to deploy zero emission buses in the corridors with the worst air quality as we convert our entire fleet to zero emission. The bottom line is hydrogen's too expensive. Battery electricity is not readily available. And we're well positioned to stay in both technologies as the technologies further evolve. The work in California is really going to have to focus on the utility side and mm-hmm. and the availability of clean hydrogen. Not all hydrogen is clean either. So we're going the right direction, but we need to go faster. And in my personal opinion, hydrogen's the way to go until the grid can catch up. And I think there's always going to be a place for both technologies.
Yeah, and I think from that standpoint, I want to make sure the listeners know this, but I mean, you were one of the first transit agencies to kind of get on the, start looking at hydrogen and zero emissions, right?
Yeah,
you were one
of the first. My time, but way back in the early 2000s, several employees and influential board members saw that hydrogen had an opportunity. AC Transit had the Van Hool buses, which is a complicated story in itself, but Van Hool was willing to make a hydrogen fuel cell bus. When I was at VTA, we had a hydrogen fuel cell bus, and this talks about how far the technology's come along. We couldn't get the buses on the road, not because of the bus, but because of the fueling infrastructure. Mm-hmm. The technology now is ready for prime time. Now, another thing is happening in our industry that your listeners may not be aware of. We are now down to two Buy America compliant bus manufacturers. Proterra went out of business. Van Hool has announced they're not going to be coming into the United States in the transit industry the way we thought. So we basically have New Flyer and Gillig. Their costs and supply chain problems have gone up immensely, partly because of COVID, but partly because of the economy that we're in. And the transit agencies have over-customized. You know, we want our particular seat, our particular door, our particular heating and ventilating system, and that's put a real burden on the bus manufacturers. So there's an innovative clean transit 2040 rule in California that the entire transit industry in California has to be zero emission. It's going to be a very, very difficult deadline to achieve because of the supplier and capital.
Well, and that's also putting more stress on this whole transit fiscal cliff too, right? Because I mean, this is like an unfunded mandate, right? And so
it's a completely unfunded mandate, and there's also the pressure. There's active legislation to seek to have a seamless network to possibly consolidate some of the transit operators, which I'm not opposed to, but I think it needs to be done with transit operator input. And what I fear the most is the transit-dependent ridership's voice is lost. Particularly AC Transit's ridership is a lot of service worker, service employee type. We have a good nighttime and weekend ridership, and I don't want to see us lose that rider. Or more importantly, even cancel out that rider's ability to comment and have choices when we seek a quote seamless network. We're lucky in the Bay Area, and I think sometimes we don't know. When you look at BART and you look at Muni and VTA, AC Transit, Caltrain, Samtrans, the fare integration, which I'm the chair of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission Fare Integration Task Force, is where we need to go. It shouldn't cost, five tickets to ride in the Bay Area. But we have invested in the infrastructure. We do have vibrant networks that, yes, we can operate more seamless to the customer. But I tell you, and I learned this when I worked at San Francisco Muni, when folks come from out of town, when tourists come, they all say, oh, we wish we had public transit like this. Doesn't mean we can't do better. I'm proud of the work we're doing in Sacramento. I'm proud of the work that we're doing with MTC. But we also should be proud of the public transit infrastructure we do have. We need to run it better. We're committed to our realign to make sure, again, that every penny we spend is spent where the service is needed, where the customers want the service to go and the frequency they want. But we need to invest more in public transit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think I hear this quite often, but I think, you know, the state of California, you know, we're more, I'll say, on the lower end in terms of investment into transit compared to some of the other states across the country, you know? And so I think there's a big push right now, you know, not only just from the Bay Area, but from the state of like, okay, we're, you know, people want more transit, want more reliable transit, more frequency, more coverage. And even frequency and coverage is a hard thing to achieve. You know, one typically sacrifices over the other. And so it's going to take a significant funding investment. You know, it's not, we can redesign the systems however we want, as much as we possibly can, but really to get the service, I think, that people are really looking for and expecting, you know, is going to take an investment.
It's a commitment. We have to operate reliable service that the passengers can rely on. But it frustrates me when we compare ourselves to Switzerland or pretty much anywhere in Europe, or at least in France, Switzerland, Italy, and Canada. But we don't compare how much they invest, how much their taxes go to supporting those type of systems. You can't have both.
Right.
If you want, a train to come every 8 minutes, you're going to have to pay for it.
That's right. All right. So you are Outstanding Agency of the Year by the American Public Transit Association. So that was a huge win. I was there actually when you received the award. So congratulations. You're doing BRT, hydrogen. You're doing TSP. You're doing all the things right. What's next? What's next for AC Transit?
To be more nimble, to be more in touch on an almost daily basis with our customers. You know, in the past, we relied on MTC to do rider surveys. We need to leverage technology today for the customer to be able to give us a comment on how was your ride through our app. We're working on the next version of our mobile app. We talk about seamless. I personally am advocating for MTC to take on more of a Bay Area wide customer service role, expand or improve on 511. Operator safety is a huge concern. You know, people don't realize how difficult the job of an operator is. Today, in this day and age, they're a bus operator, but they're a counselor. Sometimes they're a cop, a friend. They see, you know, the drug crisis in America. Unfortunately, operators get assaulted, and we need to work with our union partners to, one, find social services solutions so that the problem doesn't even end up on the bus, but to make sure we have a support system in place for our operators to make sure that they're not assaulted, that it is safe. We're fortunate that in our most recent rider survey, our riders report being largely safe. We do have a safe system. We are one of the first agencies to contractually agree to provide de-escalation training to every single frontline employee. So we try to teach them, don't even go there, get out of the situation. Become a helping hand. There's more we can do as an industry in that area. We need to make sure that we're working at the front level of our communities so that the mental health and drug abuse resources are out there so it doesn't end up in the transit system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a tough job. I mean, yesterday was, we're more recording this, but yesterday was Transit Employee Appreciation Day. Oh. Right. So so for all the bus drivers out there, all the transit employees, just, you know, thank you for your service. It's hard work. It's really hard work because of the social aspect of it, you know, and I feel like, even post pandemic, I feel like it's even getting harder, you know, and more difficult.
Well, so that's a great topic we should explore. We are hiring as fast as we possibly can. ACtransit.org/careers.
they're hiring, guys.
And we all are. And that's a challenge in the Bay Area, is that we're all facing what we call the silver tsunami. Mm-hmm. We stopped hiring during the pandemic, but our employees still retired, still finish their career. We got behind. And now as we try to compete, we're finding that we're competing a lot with the gig economy. People can go work for Amazon tomorrow. They don't have to go through 10 weeks of driver training. They don't have to have a commercial license and the medical and DMV requirements. It's tough to become a professional commercial bus operator. We have hiring incentives, we have referral bonuses, but we're all competing for the same talent pool. Yeah. Same on the maintenance side. You know, we used to draw from the military. We used to draw from vocational ed in high school and the community college system, and a lot of that is gone. career path from military to mechanic is just not there anymore. It's a good thing that it's not there, but it's hurting us in putting out daily service.
Yeah. So what gets you excited? What gets you, you know, whistling down the hallways every day? What gets you, and this is probably like the last question here, but I just wanted to kind of, what gets you super stoked to come into work every day?
Making the connection of the public that we serve. I'm fortunate with the few years working on 1 hour photo machines that I've been in public service my entire life. And I talk to our frontline employees often about this. Make the connection that person on the bus may not say thank you or good morning or good evening, but you are taking people. We are incredibly proud of the number of students we transport on our service, both high school and college. We know that we are taking people to jobs, to medical appointments, sometimes life-saving medical appointments, that in AC Transit district or territory, without the bus, they have no other way to get around. That's what, when we started, I commented, it's the best job ever. It's because of our passengers, our ridership, and what we have been able to accomplish as a district. I'm incredibly proud to get to be the general manager of 2,300 employees. I will hit 9 years this September. There's only one other GM that's been there 10 years, and I intend to break his record, Rick Fernandez, if you're listening. But you can't go anywhere and get that. It's unique what we have. It's unique that we operate in Alameda and Contra Costa counties. I think we have opportunities to do more there. My energies, as I say, I've been doing this since 1993. My energies are now to try to work with Sacramento, to work with our funding partners, to really educate people that we've got. We're not going to have Switzerland. We're not going to have European public transit if we don't fund it properly.
Yeah, that's a true statement right there. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. But you heard it from the outstanding agency of the year, largest bus operator in the
California, third largest transit agency in the Bay Area based on ridership.
Yeah, so big deal, and really appreciate your time, Michael.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate your leadership in this industry. What a great idea!
Yeah. No, this has been great. Everyone's been really liking the podcast, so appreciate you coming in.
And,
it's a lot of fun. I get a kick out of it.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thank you.